let's get started. We're so delighted to be here and glad that you could come. This is Sticks and Stones Will Make My Home. I'm Phil Carlson.
I'm Janet Lawson.
We were going to say why we are doing this. Okay?
Well, it evolved, as so many things in life do. We have children, Ellen and James, mm-hmm. 10, and when they were this size, we were on a family vacation at a resort and looking for things to do, and we created little fairy houses in the woods and then started a dialogue with the kids. We had gotten the
stories
ideas.
About
stories.
Who these fairies were and what they were communicating with us. And
so we created little mailboxes and had this going back, and it was quite fun for the kids. And we got the idea to receive from a fairy house in our community. And then when they grew up, well, we were having so much fun building these little worlds, we kept building them and then made them for family, and we always seemed to have an excuse to make another fairy house. And so here we are. And then my experience in children's literature, children's book writer and illustrator, I became fascinated with, why can't we put this down? Why is this so much fun? And so tomorrow we'll take a look at the recurring theme of small in children's literature and why it is a fun place for us to go in our imagination. I hope you have as much fun exploring that as I have.
And in my day job, I'm a city planner, but I have an architecture degree, so I spent some of my early adult years making architectural models with X-acto knives and piecing it all together, so making small models. I've got into city planning, but coming back to this to use that kind of skill at making small things have been great fun for me. But what we're going to explore here today is just some examples to kind of get the juices flowing. And if you haven't noticed our message on the board, prepare to be amazed. And we're prepared to be amazed because this is a totally creative, there are no rules, there's no right and wrong. It's whatever you can create with your imagination and we can create together.
And we want to encourage you to go beyond what's comfortable. We want everybody to get uncomfortable and be out beyond what they think they're going to do and try something new and different. And a lot of what happens with groups like this is kind of a cross inspiration going. Like you look at somebody's house and go, oh yeah, or you share ideas and you hope that we'll have some of that give and take and creative community in this group.
And so I'm inspired to put on here what I saw someone post. I don't know if all of you can see this over here, but here's your comfort zone, and here's where the magic happens. So comfort zones are overrated. So this is a safe ground. we'll have fun with this. But we want to just make this very encouraging to try new things. So do something new. These little creations could be for a fairy or a gnome or a lizard or a snake or a fly or a dragonfly or a butterfly or
a mouse or a robot. I mean,
or whatever.
Yeah, they're not, and any kind of resident might live in a small house or, in this library over there.
Yeah. So, but we're going to do some things together as a group, and you can do things together individually, and trying to get you launched here today. But we wanted to share some examples. Is there any other introductory things that you wanted to?
Well, I just want to say this can be as simple and as elaborate as you want to take it. We're going to go through some simple assembled efforts at playing places and then some wow stuff. And you can come in at any point and go as big or as small as you want to put into this. And a lot of that depends upon the scale and the size of the materials, how putsy. And so we would be happy to talk through how you're doing.
Okay. Come in. Set up chairs if you need more, but we're just getting started with the presentation. And to be clear, we're going to show some examples. We're going to talk about tools and techniques and materials here. And This room will be dedicated all week to that. So you can come in here, I think, 24/7 and work. So if you're inspired, you can set up a project room and just at any time, just during this hour.
There's only a couple qualifiers on that. There are, the 12-step group meets here twice a week for an hour, so just we ask that you respect that time. Those are the only two times.
So which is the other night that they meet here?
They've already met once, so we're good on that. The other is Thursday, I believe.
Good, okay, thank you. So let's get started with some of this, okay? So in Minneapolis, some of you who are from the Minneapolis area may notice on Lake Harriet, there's a little tree on the south side of the lake, and it has the elf door. And this has been there for years and years, and so there's an elf who will answer messages if you leave them in the door. And this was the first thing I saw. What? It's been there for 15 years.
Some dedicated folks have been answering every letter that's put into that door, which is impressive.
So that was my first experience with that. But then we've collected from some books and calendars and online lots of other examples of what these creations can be. And these first are just assembler. There's no glue or screws or wire or anything, which is fit together.
And there's subtle alterations to the natural landscape. So you could miss this and then,
it doesn't look entirely out of place.
Here again, you know, they're set. And this is a wonderful thing for younger children to just go out and put together without any tools.
Because then you don't need knives, you don't need glue or anything else like that. But, you know, using the materials that you find in the woods in some creative work, or finding a place that already has the start of something interesting, this hollow under the roots of a tree. Well, very inviting, doesn't it? To add to it.
Yes.
Yeah. You find a wonderful piece of driftwood and all this moss. I'm assuming this moss was there and they didn't disturb it and they just added to it with the sticks and the bark and whatever.
So it would be a nice place to live.
Mm-hmm. And this one here, a rock and some bark and the dog. This is an afternoon's activity for any young person.
Well, and I heard families that on camping trips, this is a tradition, they send their younger children off in the woods to assemble gnome homes or fairy houses. And then the children give tours when the adults come back for attention.
The best ones have a story to go with them, which we're going to keep exploring all week. Because, you know, it's not just about the sticks and the bark and the stones, it's what's the story.
Who lives there?
There's no little more elaborate one, you know, using sticks and ferns and leaves and bark and logs and everything. So there's a whole city that's happening here.
No, but could we kill the lights back there? We might get a little more contrast.
The last two of that first panel.
That makes it a little richer, doesn't it?
But then you get into something a little more elaborate, a little more carefully designed. This is obviously a beach, oceanside, with the shells and the driftwood.
But this is where, you know, you're really working with the setting that fairy houses in one area are not going to be like fairy houses in, or gnome homes or whatever. And again, here's a woodland one. And this is where, you know, looking at these images, or if you were to stumble across this in the woods, it's like, oh! Now, why would there be these shells with berries? And what's that for? And you start to wonder about the who lives there and why these things exist.
We don't know.
So this is why the storytelling becomes an important part of this.
But this one, we do know.
We do know.
So we know whose clubhouse this is.
And so this reminds us of natural materials and the temporary nature of some fairy houses. We discovered the hard way that green things last for a day maybe, and that's fine. And then
they will dry up and shrivel and not be at all like what you thought you had.
But for this day, it was great.
Yeah, so flower petals and leaves and things that are green and living won't last long. So if you look for dead sticks and bark and stones,
moss
works. Moss works. I prefer dead moss rather than herbs and dried moss. yes, there's lots of materials that will stay consistent for fairly long time. This is more elaborate setting on Lake Shore or something.
And here, again, we start, when we see the architecture of this building, we start to wonder, well, who lives here? Because why would they need a ladder? Do they have wings? If they do have wings, they can fly in, but, well, maybe all their guests do not have wings. And so they have to have a ladder, you know, it just really opens up all kinds of possibilities, what these different creatures might need to be comfortable. Here, you know, they've got these boats that they obviously need as water land creatures.
Water
is valuable.
And here, weaving sticks, and, you know, basket weave. So, you know, use any technique that you've seen, you know, here or any place. You know, try it out. And actually, this is a good rule for artists of any kind. Steal. Steal lightning from other artists. And then I think Picasso said that. You know, don't borrow from other artists. Because borrowing implies that you're going to give it back. Stealing means you're going to make it your own. So feel free to steal whatever ideas you see and make it your own.
So we're just looking at twigs right now. This is creating a structure with weaving. And then here's a kind of a teepee use of structure. And again, weaving with some sort of a fibrous material, grass or something. Creating a roof. Here they're, you know, laid vertically, and start to see some other materials start to appear. You know, the acorns, the lovely fall setting with the bittersweet. It's just beautiful. And here's a log cabin type with twigs.
But a treehouse, you can see it's in this bridge.
And we think it's by the shores. I think this is a starfish in shell. And we're wondering if maybe this is a cornhouse.
Whatever you've got around, just imagine how you might use it in a different way.
This is a wonderful use of materials, kind of designing this collection of textures, and it's a wonderful really design structure. And this is like peeling birch bark and acorns and grass and sticks.
And they've gone inside too. It's not just an exterior shell of a structure. This one had some more technology. Do you think these are little slices of a roof, little slices of a twig that were made into little slices? And then obviously the doors were pretty careful.
And this shows an example of using the color of the stones as parts of a design element. If you just simply separate your rocks into light and dark, you can do some amazing patterns. Phil has done that sometimes, where you can design a mosaic or a tile pattern.
Here's a great use of, you know, you've got gourds in the garden, okay, you create little structures.
This looks like, you know, is this a village or a big family, or, you know, again, they're connected by stairs, but gosh, it feels like they should be flying, you know, I don't know. Do they get a perch to land, to, you know, it's all going to come through.
Yeah. And this one. Elaborate building with stones.
A bird?
A bird could do it. But, you know, they carefully thought about the windowsill and the arch of the windows. This one, too, look at the stonework. This is not something you're going to do.
What's the roof made of?
I
can see it now more clearly. That is pine needle.
Pine cones. This is an individual pieces.
It looks like they've filled in some of the walls with kind of a mossy structure, and again, the wonderful play of because fairies may or may not prefer colors depending on what kind of creature they are.
Here you find this wonderful little stump, and so you make it into somebody's home.
Yeah, and you could find the beginning of it, and then you want to take it farther. There's, you know, we've got all kinds of possibilities with tools and stuff of how to manipulate the materials you're running. Yeah, here's the sticks used as a kind of rope structure. Here's a sliced log used as a foundation, and that'll be one of the first things you need to think about is where you're going to put what base you're going to use. But you know what? Why are these hanging walkways?
Who's walking in and out of this? Again, nice use of a stump rising out of the ground, and then keep it nice and vertical and build on top of it.
And I'm seeing paint inside here. So again, these ingenious creatures would use human materials possibly, and what might they, oh yeah, those humans got some, we'll paint ours too, you know, or whatever.
That's another great stump. Somewhere with the door. Yeah, this is reminiscent of that first elf door.
I like this little balcony right here.
This is a wonderful one. It just looks like it belongs here, doesn't it? A stump that just used the moss and just the color of the wood. A bird could live there too.
It's a creature.
It's slightly altered, you know, not dramatically, and so it feels like it lives in harmony with its surroundings. And then here's, you know, tackling smaller projects. If the home seems too much, well, there's always the furniture. You can always dive in.
Or after you get the home done, then furniture.
Then furniture, exactly. So here's, obviously, a table of chairs, stools and a table with food. A swing playground area. This looks like and a little lawn chair. Mm-hmm. And these are walnut shells.
Yeah. And they're fun with scale, I imagine. Actually, there's a whole book that these out of the support miniature rolls and one called scale. Someone's exploring this with different materials and how to make things in kind of small scale.
And here they're mixing some man-made things. I think this is some tape, and we found wire to be really helpful to get things to do what you want them to do and hold them in place. We have some wire things, but here's I remember reading this is a pantry here, obviously a chair, a mirror, and the mirror is assembled with pieces. This is a lamp, and I think that's a wash basin here and a table. And why stop at a house? Why not go straight to the amusement park?
So there's lots of possibilities. But yeah, just find an idea, right? And here's just a couple examples of what I've done. This was a house I built for my aunt as a gift, and she moved to a new residence on Bainbridge Island. It was this kind of square U-shaped, four stories with the pitched roof. So I made a fairy house that was four stories and this square with pitched roof. Because when she moved from St. Louis to Bainbridge Island, I figured the wee creatures needed a place to stay too, since they were dislodged from her house. And then Jan and I both made these as gifts for others, and one Christmas we made it for members of our family. So this is one of many that I made for my big kid. This is for my son Jason. And just picking up on, kind of thinking of their personalities and customizing. So Jason's a big, bold kind of a character, so I started with a big rock and some big, kind of a husky, log cabin feel. But he's also outgoing and gregarious, so we kind of have outdoor spaces. So you can kind of take the ideas of a person and create a house, a little house around them. And then this is the one that we built in our backyard. This is for full-size humans. This is the treehouse that's at the edge of our property. It is made almost entirely with screws, yes, deck screws, so all of these branches and twigs and the floorboards all just put together with screws. And this was mostly found materials too. Janet came home having seen a structure that was woven together with branches like this. She said, that's it. That's how we'll build the treehouse for our kids.
Well, and I think this is where the cross exchange of ideas, you know, I was actually with Sonia that day, and we had, I only thought of fairy houses as being small, and these, and then when we saw this large, solid structure built in that same type, it was like, oh my gosh, we could do this, and then the next day, the neighbor's tree blew down, it's like, and there's our sticks.
So I just walked across the street and said, Bob, can I help you saw that? We'll take it off your hands, and so that.
So you can go, and so this is a testament to how the scale can be really
big. Just if you can read this. This front one is a live walnut tree, and the other three corners of this four-sided structure are large pieces that are just putting the ground under the concrete base.
So we know who lives in that.
Yes, yes. Often Ellen and James and their friends, and Grace. So, but also for context, Chris and Sonia live one block that way, and Paul and Yvonne and then live one block this way.
And again, these smart wee creatures, of course, if they ran across something as nifty as an empty coffee pot and needed a waterproof home, they would probably seize it and make it work for them. And I'm reminded of many characters in children's literature that do this kind of thing. They make human pieces their own. So again, do not be limited by natural materials if your creative project speaks to you, and then that's the way to go. This is an artist that is, I think, brilliant in mixed media. And so she's got, you know, this, and I wanted to show, she's got all this going on from all different sources. And I wanted to show you this to just kind of expand the possibilities of how these wee creatures might furnish their home or create a home. And here's another example. These are art pieces, but I think they push us out of the normal possibilities of what can be done with materials. And now we just want to amaze you because we think these are amazing.
Calendar of fairy houses, so one for each month, and you just.
I mean, look at this. Look at this little window. I mean, oh, does Bilbo Baggins live there or what?
And the stonework on this one, that's what
the. But you could do that. You could just build a stone structure of wee stones. You know, the hot glue is mortar, or if you and it will hold it in. You know, if you keep it inside. Mm-hmm. But outside, if the rocks are solid, if you can create something that. This one, you know, you've seen these fungus. This is a person who created a fungus shell. And we're not sure if this is created or. Is it a natural? I honestly don't know how this is made, but it sure is beautiful, isn't it?
Again, these wonderful windows with the lattice work, and picking up on a theme of the kind of the mushroom cap on the tops of it. So it's tied together very artistically. And a winter one, the snow looks great on it. Yeah.
So I have a question. Do you think, especially with the snow, so are these a lot of these fairy houses meant to stay outside all season? Or do you, it seems like with some of the leaves, they would not make it, but do you try to build it under some kind of shelter?
That's an excellent question. It all depends upon what you want to do with it, and it limits the kind of building technique you use. The hot glue does not do outdoors because the wood expands, and as soon as it gets wet, it falls apart. So if you want to do an outside one, it's like building a house. It's screws, it's wire, it can't be glued together. And you absolutely, some fantastic things can be made that way. It's just coming at it a little differently. And then.
But with glue and hot glue, they'll last for years on your shelf inside. And this is just one of my favorites, the wonderful whimsical curved roof with maybe birch bark and around and this little heart-shaped edit. This one with the little stone bridge.
Yeah, that one's right here. And here, the use of color. And obviously, we know those leaves wouldn't stay that red, but boy, for the day or two, those leaves were that red, it wasn't that beautiful.
And another little sort of pop of house nestled in the tree with stone wood. And the red leaves. It's perfect. The detail of these arching supports and sticks for the roof.
How I feel when I look at these images. The wonderful use of the play of color, the blue and the oranges.
Well, these are just some of our favorite images meant to stir the creative juices and get some inspiration. We need to keep moving.
We need to keep moving. Okay.
How about turn on those first three lights there? Those first three. 1, 2, 3. Let's talk just briefly about materials and techniques. So, most of the materials that we use were just gathered in the woods, just things that you find. And I'm just going to step back here to this. And you're going to want to cut them into manageable sizes. So you can just break things, tear leaves, bark, whatever, and assemble without any glue. Otherwise, X-Acto knives are very handy. So we have quite a few X-Acto knives. For small sticks, little pliers, little clippers like this, and we have small and even bigger clippers. So if you get into something a little heftier, you can use that. We have this kind of utility knife that slides forward and then it's got the break-off blades. Both of these kinds of knives are very sharp, so make sure you keep other fingers and other people's fingers out of the way when you're doing that.
But you know, it all depends upon the scale that you're working at. The X-Acto knife and the blades are probably for a more delicate project. If you're doing pieces of bark and stuff, you know, we've raided the tool shed for all kinds of cutting, or maybe you need to alter a log or a stick. You know, I who knows what you'll need to do.
So there's all kinds of possibilities here. So just try it. You know, we've tried only really a few things, and you may discover things. But we have in the materials, and I mean the tools, sharp knives, these kinds of clippers and pinchers and saws, and we've got wire, some thin steel wire of various kinds that you can use to
And some wrap. Some of the wire is more rigid and would stand, like if you're going to make a lamp or something coming up, and other of the wire is thin and might be used to weave and to hold something together, like those teepee things. You could be, it's more of a wrapping wire. And so, and then this just looked cool and looked like it would be helpful. You know,
it looks kind of like twine or rope, but it's a wire that holds a shape. It's got wire inside it. But really the heart of creating things that you're going to keep indoors is the hot glue gun. So if you haven't used a hot glue gun, this is a stick of a kind of a soft plasticky glue, and it goes in the back of this, and you shove it all the way, and you plug this in the wall, and you've got to give it about 10 minutes to heat up. And it gets very hot, and it melts the glue, and you press the trigger, and it squirts a little hot glue out. So it's hot. Remember that.
And if you get, you know, it's so tempting to get your fingers in there and you burn yourself once and then you become, I mean, you'll be fine,
yeah.
But it hurts.
a blister on the end of your finger for all week is not fun. So this is something, yeah, just to be very careful with. And they have, all of these have little legs that it'll stand upright. You want to keep it standing upright when it's plugged in, not on its side. It tends to kind of leak or not, or you've got a hot, sticky surface next to the table, so try and keep it upright.
And I want to point out something else about the guns. We have two temperatures here. This is the hot, high temp,
so
and
blue
the white ones are low temp. So if you have a younger child and you're concerned about it, you know, not being fun if they burn their fingers, grab a low temp glue gun. The glue works in both.
But the reason you use hot is that you can get a smaller, more controlled bit of glue on it, the lower temperature is just a little globbier, but they'll both still work just fine.
Just as you think about where you want to start on your project, there's different ways you can approach this. Some people start out a project and they have it in their mind what they want, and they're going to plan it, and they're going to figure out the materials they need to accomplish what they are doing. Other people, that's kind of the planned way. Other people will go walking in the woods and come across something and go, oh, I want to use that, and then come across something else and do it as in more of an intuitive process. There is no right way. We will help you with whatever way you want to come at this, and or you might know, I want to make a fisherman's shed, and some people, and that's what you set out to do, a fisher bug's shed or something, and other people will start something, and then kind of as the project, the structure evolves, who lives there evolves at the same time. Again, there's no one way to
do
this.
You'll find the neatest curved stick, and you'll say, this has got to be part of this, and then it just evolves from there.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet, sorry. because we want this to be a workshop that you can come in any time of the day that you want to put some effort into this, and it's best that the tools stay here and they so that they're always here for whoever shows up. So let's keep the tools here and...